Hour Show. It's a Friday here in Baltimore. We are a Christian podcast, and we look at a variety of things from the Bible. We want to help you walk with God, learn faith, and how to put it into practice. My name's Steve Androlonis. I'm one of the pastors here at Greater Grace Church, which is the base of operations for the Grace Hour. With me today, Pastor Steve Schibelli, our missions director here at Greater Grace. And he's spent a busy morning with a variety of high school students here at our Christian Academy. And the high school students always have a spring missions day. Mm-hmm. So young people getting schooled, right? Schooled, hopefully encouraged in the idea of being a missionary. So we thank you for joining us today. Don't forget you can subscribe to our podcast at YouTube or Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And we just thank you for being a part of the Grace Hour. Before we get any further into the program, we do want to remind you that it's Mother's Day weekend. God bless all of your mothers and all the mothers that are watching. And you know what you could do best for your mother is go to church or bring her to church.
Yes.
And we're going to have church services here at Greater Grace Church. If you're looking for a fellowship, you need one. The Bible tells you that. You could join us 9 and 11 Sunday morning or 6:30 Sunday evening this weekend here, 6025 Moravia Park Drive in Baltimore, zip code 21206. Another thing you could do is you could join us Saturday mornings and be a missionary in some neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. Right? We're missionaries across the street, around the corner, in the markets, in front of the local Aldi, wherever we go, right? We're passing out Sam's Club. You might see us some places passing out tracts and talking about Jesus. All this week, we've been talking about Paul, you know, probably the greatest outside of Jesus Christ, the most wise person who ever walked the earth, but he was a persecutor of the church, and then he became persecuted. We've gone through his life a little bit, talked about the road to Damascus, how he saw Jesus and became a believer, and then became an apostle, a messenger, not a capital A apostle. He didn't walk with Jesus like Peter, James, and John and the others, but he did become a great messenger of the gospel. And God gave him a real understanding of the body of Christ and the armor of God, all kinds of things. We've talked about that, his epistles. And we know that we're going to talk a little bit about the end of his life, and I'm going to read this, Pastor Schibelli, and then you can jump in here. We know that Paul had two seasons in Rome at the end of his life. The book of Acts ends this way. Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house. He was under house arrest. A soldier was with him all the time, and many came. He received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. And then he was released for a season, and then he was again arrested, and he never came out of incarceration at that point. Nero, a madman, was the emperor of Rome, and he was doing some wild things, and Christians were under great persecution. And at a certain point in the mid-60s, the original 60s, the latter 60s, Nero ordered Paul and Peter to be executed. Paul was beheaded because he was a Roman citizen, and Peter was persecuted according to tradition. Seems like he was Peter, that is, was crucified upside down. So let's talk about Paul, and we can do a summation of his life. And you know, he's one of your favorite people. Right? One of your favorite people, of course.
Can't wait to meet him.
Let's go. Yeah, can't wait to meet Paul and, you know, the kind of man and the purpose that he set and his missionary care for churches, which is probably a model that you follow very, very closely, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I love 2 Timothy chapter 4. I mean, some of the last words of the Apostle Paul. And I want to start in verse 6. And I know we've been talking about the week persecutor to persecuted. And that all happens because of the grace of God.
Yeah.
I mean, saved by grace. He's he's a persecutor. And you would say to yourself, why didn't God just strike him dead? Why didn't God just strike him dead, you know? And he did not, because he was going to use his life as a testimony. It was going to be a great example of the mercy and the grace of God, that God would have mercy upon him, forgive him of all of those sins, all of that rebellion and persecution, and then give him new life. And then he would be a person who would preach, teach, and with all confidence, no man forbidding him, the grace message, and bring this grace message. And we're called the Grace Hour, you know?
Yeah.
And he brought the grace message. But I like these two verses. And he says at the end to Timothy in his last epistle, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." I like that. He kind of knew it was time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I love this, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, my race. I have kept the faith." Then he talks about a crown of righteousness. But listen to these three statements. "I fought a good fight." Why was it a good? How can you ever think that a fight is good? It's a good fight because he received the weapons from God. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and on. "The weapons of our warfare are not human, but mighty through God." So the fight becomes a good fight. I fought a, the word is really interesting, intrinsically and in its quality, good. I fought a good fight. "I finished my race." Isn't that what we all want to do? Finish the race.
Yeah.
I want to finish my course. Finished. The finished work, and then we finish. And I want to finish well. I want to finish the course with God. I think that would be everybody's prayer, whether you're 40, 50, 70, 80, 90, whatever it may be. I want to finish my course. And I like how he said in Acts 20:24, "None of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy." Wow, that's great. "And then I finished my course. I have kept the faith." I've kept what God has delivered to him. In other words, it didn't. He wasn't the source. Jesus Christ is the source of faith, Galatians 2:20 and 21. So here we have at the end of his life making these statements. "I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And we have seen down through history where some people, sad to say, didn't finish their course. They started to do other things after having walked with God for 30, 40, 50 years. They would go in another direction. And really, it's really sad and really grieving to think that that could happen to anybody, any of ourselves included. But I want to keep fighting this good fight. I want to keep in my course or my race. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And really, what a great example that is. These three particular statements. Therefore, he gets a crown. See, some people want the crown without this part. They don't want verse 7. They don't want a good fight. They don't want to run a race. And they don't want to keep their faith. You know, they kept the faith. But the reason why he got a crown was because of those three very things. Right to the end.
Yeah.
Right to the end. It's like this is the pattern of New Testament missions, going right to the end. Jesus, right to the end, right to the end on a cross. And you think about it, the persecution and all that took place at the cross, but he finished his course and he's kept the faith. And this is so important in our Christian lives. And we've seen people that in church history down through the years, I recommend to the students today, and I recommend this to everybody out there, other than the Bible, my favorite book has been From Jerusalem to Irianjaya. It's a history of missions from the early church right to almost now. And by the way, you can see America's vital role in missions. You know, I think somebody said one time, America sent 90% of all missionaries were sent from America. And 87% of all missionary money came from America. We have a great heritage as a country.
Yes, we do.
When it comes to missions and churches and giving. And we'd like to see that continue and to keep on going so that it would be said of us as a country and a churches mainly. And then in a country, we fought a good fight. We finished the race, the course, and we've kept the faith. This is so vitally important to us today. Because the enemy's coming against this.
Yeah.
You know, you've been doing this for a while. Yeah. Well, how about considering this? You know, in your old age, you got to start relying upon other things, you know? Mm-hmm. And nothing wrong with Social Security, but I'd rather have eternal security.
Yeah.
I think Social Security is okay, but eternal security, we want to go all the way with God. We don't want to stop short. We don't want to, you know, and by the way, do you know something? In the Olympics, if I'm correct, I'm hoping I am. It's in the relay race when you drop the baton.
Over.
It ends there.
Over.
It's over. It's over. You can't pass the baton. See, Dr. Stevens passed the baton.
Yeah.
Pastor Scheller grabbed the baton. We got to keep passing the baton.
Mm-hmm.
50 years from now, if the Lord tarries, you know, I know, the rapture is very close. I don't know.
We don't know, right?
But what about 50 years from now? Mm-hmm. We got to keep passing the baton, because where the baton is dropped, the race ends. And so we pass the baton. What's the baton? The word of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the finished work, the eternal purpose of God, the life of God, the church, the gospel. This is the baton we're passing.
Mm-hmm.
We pass the baton. And you know what? And I like it how they didn't look behind to take a look at the runner that was giving them the baton. They just held their hand up. Although we have examples that people have run the race before us, we certainly do that. But we don't have to see that. We have to see that, you know, physically per se. And so they would run. And I think both American teams, if I'm not correct, in the last Olympics, or maybe it was the one before, I'm losing short of time.
Yeah, there was.
They both dropped the baton.
Yeah.
The women's team
and the men's team
had the fastest runners in the world.
Yeah.
There was no doubt about it. But you know what they couldn't do? Couldn't pass the baton.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. As Christians, we can have a great life of being a Christian individually. But am I discipling people? Am I ministering to people? Will I pass the baton? Or does it just end with you? I've seen some ministries, especially in Africa, where when the man was gone, the ministry was over.
Mm.
It doesn't even exist anymore. It doesn't take place anymore because they didn't pass the baton. Passing the baton is discipleship. So we go from being persecutors, which we all are when we're unsaved, to being persecuted. Now, some people say, I don't want that kind of a Christianity. I don't like that kind of a Christianity. Well, I've read the Bible. It seems like everybody that made a difference was persecuted.
Yeah.
Stephen was stoned to death. Moses, did he have a great time of it all? No.
No.
I mean, the apostles,
really.
The 11 of them, I think they all ended up with violent deaths.
All but John.
All but John, who lived to old age, 95 years old in Patmos.
Something like that, yeah.
But he was on an island that was a prison island.
Yeah,
surrounded by sharks.
For the ministry of the word.
For the word of God.
Yeah.
So I want to say that grace takes you from being a persecutor, which we look at Paul's life, but guess what? All of us, when we did not walk with Christ, or maybe we didn't do the things that Paul did, putting people in prison for their faith, but we somehow participated in unbelief in a measure by not believing ourselves.
Yeah.
And so the persecutor, you and I, becomes that which is persecuted. And you know what? A lot of Christians don't want that kind of a Christianity. No, I want everybody to love me. I want to have a very good reputation in the city and in the country and in the state. Well, of course everybody wants that, but not at the expense of the gospel, not at the expense of truth, not at the expense of just doing something carnal, a little bit worldly, not bad, but not God, might be good. And what's taking place is a kind of Christianity that is seriously, sadly becoming lukewarm.
Yeah.
Lukewarm. So with that, we go on.
Yeah.
With that, we go
That's
on.
That's a way to, so, you know, we're looking at Paul's time in Rome. It took him a while to get there.
Yeah.
He got carried there through the judicial system of Rome. Took him a couple years, shipwreck. All that, but he finally got there, and we know that. Yeah, we're looking at Second Timothy is really his final words that that we have, and he's really thinking about the ministry that he had. He's thinking about he's brokenhearted over some people, you know. He's warning of, and he's talking about people who have departed from the faith, and he's trying to encourage Timothy and Titus were. Men that abided faithful to him and his ministry and to the ministry of the cross of Christ. But you think about that. You're saying handing off the baton and the way that Paul is instructing here, it's like he's trying to equip everybody just for what's to come. And you know, even though he sees, he can see the writing on the Roman wall there that they're going to take him and eliminate him because he's more, you know, but he's still active. He's still making sure. He's not like just, he's just not twiddling his thumbs there, you know, in the prison.
He's
like
writing letters.
Yeah, he's writing letters, dictating letters. He's asking for his coat and his parchment. He wants to do the more writing, apparently.
And that writing became the Bible.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
There's a great verse here, Pastor Steve, in Acts 23, after that big problem that he had with the council. It says, verse 11, Acts 23, 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer.
Yeah.
have a well mind, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also at Rome.
Yeah, so
he's got the promise from God.
Yeah, I mean,
you're going to Rome.
He made an appeal, which meant that he demanded an audience with the emperor, and he got it at some point. You know, as far as we know, he got this at some point. He was able to show his, you know, he was able to show that it was illegal for him to be under in prison as a Roman citizen. And at that point, the emperor let him go. And so he got a space of time, one trip to Rome. He got a space of time to get out of Rome and do some more evangelism. And then again, you know, as Nero became more and more crazed, he started to blame the Christians for everything. Big fire in Rome because he wanted to make the city was about 1.5 million. Can you imagine a city of 1.5 million under those conditions?
In those days.
Yeah, they had aqueducts and something like that. They had baths and everything like that. But, you know, can you imagine that? Just imagine this. And more than half of those people, maybe 700 to 800,000 of them were slaves or prisoner of wars, you know, which meant that they were owned by people or responsible to people. It's not the same kind of slavery we had here in the United States, so to speak. Excuse me, but it was a form of slavery. And so Paul used that time to be a minister, entertaining people, not entertaining them, ministering to them as they came to him. And he even penetrated into the palace. You know, people from the palace came to listen to them and they became believers. And we see this like in the church, like we keep trying to, you know, create a political maybe agenda. Maybe that's some people's bent. I'm not saying it's wrong. But if it becomes an idol and you're looking for political power, but here Paul is in prison and he's still ministering, you know, somehow he's gaining converts in the palace, right? That's in the palace. You know, the people are coming to talk to him, or maybe the guards are going, you know, the guards are going back. You got to hear this guy. This guy doesn't fear death at all.
And read all the names in 2 Timothy. So many names in the mention, especially the fourth chapter. I think like 16 or 17 names. These are people that he met. So the persecutor becomes persecuted, but he received grace from God and mercy from God. And this is why he could finish, he could fight a good fight, he could finish his course, he could keep the faith, because he was receiving grace from God. And that doesn't mean just favor. Grace really is to be defined as God's fullness and glory, his very character, nature, and attributes. He was receiving personally from God himself, having the Holy Spirit in him. He's receiving from God. And so he can take this to the end. And this is very important. Because so many times you'll see people start off, you did run so well, who did hinder you? By the way, the who uses the what's. The who, which is the devil and demons.
Yeah.
They use all kinds of things. They use the what's. So there's going to be these things that could be there that could stop people like maybe Paul. Mm-hmm. Maybe you would say, look, I'm in prison, that's it. I'm going to just like, you know, forget this whole thing. And why has this happened to me and why am I here? But he saw it as God's plan and he received grace when he was persecuted. So he's got the grace of God and the word of God coming to him in 2 Timothy, his last epistle. And it's incredible that he could say at the end of his life in prison, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And there's a crown of righteousness that the Lord has laid up for me. And not just for me only, but for all them that love his appearing. What does that mean? Well, God will appear to you in every situation. Mm. You know, there's so many people that they do not want to take steps of faith, or they get into a problem, a trial, something that takes place that really nobody likes. But what you can do is receive from God.
Yeah.
You can receive from God in it. You're in the lion's den. You receive from God. You're in a furnace. You receive from God. You're persecuted in Isaiah 6. You receive from God. You keep receiving from God. Joseph, sold by his own brothers. What kept him? He kept receiving from God.
Uh-huh.
That's what kept him. So he didn't drop the baton.
No.
There was no dropping of the baton. We keep receiving. We're holding on. And actually, we're not. It's not that so much we're holding on, but God's holding us.
Yeah.
He's got us in his hand, John 10:27-30. So this is really so important that I get grace. So don't try to avoid troubles. I mean, we don't look for them and try to make them happen. But troubles, trials, and tests will come. But meet God in them.
Mm.
Meet God in them. Sometimes you will avoid the trial or the test and run away from it. And where you run to, you won't meet God. You won't meet God. You're going to meet God in the belly of a whale. That's where, guess where, Jonah? Guess where you're going to meet God? It's not going to be here, staying here. You're going to meet him in the belly of a whale as you're running away. So there's persecution, there's trouble, there's trials, there's things that go on. Look at our persecuted church around the world. If you read a lot of Richard Wurmbrand's things in his ministry, there's a lot talked about as far as the persecuted church. But you don't see people complaining. You see people rejoicing that they meet God in their trial and in their test. And so with us, it's something for us to learn as Christians. There's going to be trials. Mm. There's going to be tests. How about this verse from 1 Peter? The trial of your faith is more precious than gold. What makes it precious? You meet a precious Jesus in the trial. Mm. You meet God in the midst of the trial, or you're ministered to by the church or other believers in the midst of it. So rather than running away, that's why some people do not want to preach the gospel in certain countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that will bring, don't you? Well, really? I don't know what that will bring. I'm thinking about a man of God that I met 24 years ago.
Okay.
And actually, I think it was my wife that led him to Christ. And he's in a certain country. I won't name the country. He's in a certain country, and he was arrested for his faith, put in jail. They let him go. Then he kept evangelizing and speaking to people about God. Had a Bible study. They put him and his wife in jail. Second time.
Mm.
And after a while, they let him go. Then he wouldn't stop. He just was having this study going on and having like his Bible school in the home, in the home, which is where a lot of the early churches had their churches.
That's true.
Guess what? They arrested him and his wife and the two kids they put in jail. You think it stopped them? No, it did not.
No.
You know what it did? They stopped. They said, let's leave this guy alone. This is not working at all. He was being persecuted, but he meets God in the persecution. Mm. And this is the thing. If I just am trying to handle the persecution through self, some self-effort, some worldly philosophy or wisdom, some fleshly effort, or I try to avoid it, I really miss God.
Mm.
I miss God. And you can see that all of these apostles face incredible consequences because of their decisions. But they met God. Yeah. John's on Patmos. Who does he meet? God himself.
God.
Yeah, God's there with him. He's in a cave prison on an island surrounded by sharks, an island that was used for prison.
Yeah.
And he meets God. And guess what God does? Gives him the book of Revelation. You got revelation because God had John in a cave. Say, why couldn't he do it another way? He could. He chose to, but this is the way he chose. And John was very blessed. So the persecuted can receive the ministry of Christ. This is so key. The early church in the book of Acts, they received the ministry of a personal God. We can receive God's word in time of trial and trouble and difficulty. So we don't want to make them happen, but let's not like deny them and run away from them and make a conscious effort. I'm getting out of that church because that church is undergoing some problems and trouble. Really?
Yeah.
Well, so you want to be in a place that doesn't have any initiation against it ever? Nothing's against that church? Well, if nothing's against it, then I wonder how worldly they really are. So we've got some comments up there.
It's just they're just saying you run the race right there. We see encouraging Esmo
from Oretta.
Oretta saying, like, we must run the race looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Paul was not fighting aimlessly. He wasn't running aimlessly either. He knew where he was going.
Definition,
and he set his
yes.
sights on that. And I think it's he's giving these instructions, like you're saying, the last words to Timothy are very telling. It's like, preach the word. It's like, what the most important thing, Timothy, preach the word. And I think I think we know that Paul was a great student of the Bible. And I've read Habakkuk a couple of times through lately, and we know that he used that phrase in there, Habakkuk 2:4, about the just shall live by the faith. But he also tapped into like the very end. Like, we know that the fig tree wasn't blossoming, the grapes weren't on the vine. It was a disastrous time in Israel's history. And Paul packaged this also to tell people to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice because that's the way that ends. It ends with a song. Ends with a song. Habakkuk ends with a long song about, rejoicing in the Lord and rejoicing in him always, no matter what the situation. And so Paul is not wasting his time now that he's in prison. He's in probably the most despicable prison. Talk about the belly of a whale. This prison that where the political prisoner went was probably just a pit. They just threw food and water down to him as they waited to, counted the days until they were going to execute him. And it just was, they probably kept him alive for a while to see which people would come to visit him, and they could arrest those guys too. I mean, Timothy, he encourages to come there. And did Timothy go and then also get arrested? We don't know. Timothy was also in prison from the book of Hebrews. We know that Timothy was in prison for a season and then released. But Paul's not wasting time.
I talked to a man one time, and he said to me, you know how long we've been watching what's going on in this place? It was in a certain country, a certain religion. He says, we don't just come in when we see something start or a Bible study starting. We want to give it time so we can pick off every single person that's coming.
Yeah.
So they can watch you for a year.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you think you've got everything's going well. Well, they're just waiting to pick you off, And it's interesting. In Paul's prison epistle to the Philippians, I think 17 or 18 times he uses the word joy or gladness.
Yeah.
Rejoice and joy.
Yes.
So what he's saying to them is, I'm in prison and I'm telling you to rejoice. Always. And in case you didn't get it the first time, again, I say rejoice. And he's got joy. He's being persecuted, but you can't take God from him.
No.
He has eternal security. He has life with God. And then he's got, certainly, a Christian can have life with God, but still make wrong decisions, not to be a receiver. But he made decisions as one being persecuted to have grace and mercy and the life of Christ bear fruit and continually receive. You can't stop receiving. You got to keep receiving. So maybe there's a problem in a marriage, a problem in a family, a problem at work, a problem with your health, a problem with finances, whatever it may be. Keep receiving from God. Just keep receiving from God. Some people, all they do is talk about their problems. Hello.
Yeah.
You know what? You're just giving the enemy more fuel.
That's
more
true.
More fuel. And by the way, if you tell seven people your problem, then you've heard it seven times. They've only heard it once.
Yeah.
You've heard it seven times. You've said it seven times. And then you've developed the mindset of the problem and whatnot. And I understand because you want people to pray. But really, we have to be very careful that we don't take on, because of our own communication, which comes out of our mouth, that we don't take on a pattern of thinking that ends up with the problem being greater than God himself. Is the prison where Paul's in greater than God himself? No, he calls himself the prisoner of the Lord. I like that.
Yeah.
The desmios of God. And so what an amazing thing. He can receive grace in your trouble, in your trial, in your problem, in that which is taking place, rather than, I'm going to escape this. I'm going to run away from this. And I know Christians that have run away and run right into the plan of God. They thought they were going to get...
Jonah,
away.
Right? Yeah. Jonah running away.
Right into the plan of God. Abraham tried it a few times, and God had to keep bringing him back. Genesis 12, 15, 17, 22.
Yeah.
And you can see this time and time again. Didn't Jacob try to do it too?
Yeah
he was a good runner. Yeah. He was a fast runner. But
God met him.
Yeah, but we the baton is in our hand.
Yeah.
And it's the baton is God himself and his character, his nature, his purpose, his work. And so we keep going. Will these things take place? Yes. I can pray, God, give me the ability. But I like 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm going to turn there. I just want to read that verse. It's very interesting verse that is coming to me about this whole situation that can take place. Yes, we still have Bibles. Turning the pages.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah. There is no temptation. There is no temptation that's taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. That ability comes from God. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He has a way of escape. It's God himself. See, sometimes people are looking for, I got a financial problem, and I'm looking, you know, God's going to give me money. That's my way of escape. Not necessarily so. God gives me himself. Mm-hmm. And maybe when I receive and I fellowship with God himself, I don't see the need for the money that much, you know, or whatever. It can be that. But no matter what, he says, no temptation, right? No temptation. But with the temptation will give you a way of escape that you can bear it. He'll not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. Of course, if I don't take God's resources, test and trial become really something that I risk. This has to end, you know? Because I'm not receiving from God in the middle of it. This is the thing. Receive from God in the middle of it. A woman is married to an unsaved man, and he's treating her very, very much in a bad way. But she can keep receiving from God, and eventually we've heard cases where men, husbands have gotten saved. Mm. They've received Christ as their personal Savior. Mistreated, yes, but keep receiving grace. So grace is more powerful than the mistreatment. Mm. In other words, like, is God more than enough for me? That's my question, you know, in whatever situation it is, you know. I feel like I'm, you know, I have insecurities and fears and doubts and, you know, whatnot. And I've been, how about this? I've been wronged by Christians. Mm. Oh, really? Well, what did you think? They are perfect in their position, but in their experience, we can fail. And so, you were wronged by Christians? You mean what the church did, what Paul was doing to the church, and what?
Yeah.
And even there were people in the church that wouldn't have anything to do with him after he got converted. Can you imagine that? You try to join the church, and they say, no, this is not good.
We don't. We haven't heard good things about you.
Yeah. And you're a little too dangerous to be around, you know? So you could start to take an attitude towards those leaders in the Jerusalem church, but he did not. No. He did not. He walked with God, and that's the key. So we got a lot of comments out there.
Just a couple there.
Just a couple?
Run the race. Run the race. And Aretta's thinking about run the race a lot there.
Running the race.
Yeah. You could text us a comment there in the comments field if you're watching online. Thank you for being with the Grace Hour. Today, Pastor Steve Schiavelli is with me, Pastor Steve Androlonis, and we still have a few minutes here. We're talking about, we're ending a week talking about Paul, who began, who was a superstar Pharisee student on his way up to the top, probably was going to have a great gathering of people around him and persecuting the church, trying to wipe out the way of Jesus and the believers there. And then God changed him. And now we're talking about how he's finishing up. Can you finish strong? He was content. Yeah. I think he's practicing a lot of the things that he preached. I think he rejoiced in the Lord. I think he prayed without ceasing. We know that he kept telling things. He kept writing things. He kept sending letters. Mm-hmm. And they kept taking him out of the prison. That's kind of interesting. Yes. Like, you know, he's writing the Bible. And his captors, the Roman authorities, are letting him write the Bible, and they're getting the words out. Yes. They're not shutting him down. You know, there's a couple of countries in the nation that they shut down. They control communication. You can't get an email anywhere. You can't get a website up.
Still shut it down.
It's like, you know, it's happening in places, you know.
I mean, evil waxes, there's a scripture.
Worse and worse, yeah. Right? It waxes worse and worse.
Sometimes we think, well, this is unbelievable. This is just the beginning here. Mm. This gets more interesting. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, I love some of the things he says. Rejoice. I mean, think about this. He's in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Yeah.
Again, I say rejoice. Let your finished work moderation be known unto all men. Don't be anxious about anything. Have the peace of God. That's really quite something. Then he tells you in verse 8 how to think. Have the right kind of thinking. That's so key. He tells you in verse 13, you can do everything through Christ. He tells you in verse 19, God will supply all of your need. What amazing statements of faith he's making when he's in prison. Mm. And he's talking to people who are going through some problems in this Philippian church. And he is rather than them thinking to themselves, well, no matter what's going on, we're a lot better off than he is. He's the one encouraging them. He's building them up. He's helping them out. And really, this is the key. So what if I, Pastor Steve, I meet God in my trouble? Can I be useful to other people?
Sure. I mean, I think don't we gravitate to that? I mean, you know, really, the stories that really captivate us are not the stories where it's all smooth sailing. The stories that really captivate us are the stories of the people who fought through it, you know?
Yes.
Whether it's Paul, whether it's like Amy Carmichael, who goes and then is bedridden, but she's like, she's captive to a bed, but she writes these amazing poems and then her ministry there is still thriving after all these years. There's still people getting touched by what she did there.
Even with opposition, right? I mean, her physical opposition.
Yeah, physical, yeah. And let's see, you know, William Carey, he was much opposed by the, you know, he was much opposed by the East India Tea Company because they didn't want anyone messing up their profit model. And he said, okay, I'll just go and work with the Dutch people. So he went to the Dutch part of India, built a Bible college, translated, like, I think in his lifetime, it was 37 languages.
Yeah.
I think by the end of his life, maybe 70 some languages. And these dialects in the Indian continent would not have a written language if it wasn't for his ministry and everything like that. So I think, you know, Paul is really demonstrating, like, godliness with contentment is great gain. If I'm not content with the content that I have from the Word of God that he's given me, you know, he went to Arabia at the beginning after his the scales fell from his eyes. He was met with Jesus there, and now he's in a different kind of context, but God is still with him, and he's still got things to say. And everything that he wrote to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is there for our edification and our exhortation, right?
Keeps like, going. I like that 3:14. I'm not going to think about that which is behind me. I'm going to reach forth to those things which are before me, 3:13. I love this verse. I press. By the way, do you know the word press and persecute? Same Greek word, dioko. Same Greek word. I press and I persecute. Okay. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I love that. It's the mark, it's the prize, and it's the high calling. And he says, as many as you that be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything else you are otherwise minded, God will reveal this even unto you. If you're not thinking correctly, God will reveal it to you. So he says, I have a goal. I press towards the mark. I have a goal I'm shooting for. Okay, it's like a person trying to high jump. What is it, like 7 feet is what they're doing now?
I don't even know. Yeah. I mean, I follow, like, you know, what you're talking about, the relay race, because the mile relay is always the climax of every track meet. Mm-hmm. You know, four guys running one lap around the track, you know, and it climaxes. It's like sort of the climax of any, used to be the climax. It might not be the climax of every track meet, but I can remember track meets. Mile relay is coming, like, you know, 4x400. And, you know, you're right. The baton, like the guy, if it doesn't get to, if it doesn't get to the guy at the finish, at the, on the last lap, you know, then you're done. No medal.
Nothing.
You're not even listed in the, you just got this big DQ next to your name.
You didn't even participate.
Yeah, you did. It's like you weren't even there, you know? It's like,
disqualified.
You know. Yeah, but, you know, and you got to want to finish well. I think this is what Paul is saying
this is
to
what
us.
He's saying, and that's
fighting
what
I, the fight, running the race. And then what were you reading there, lastly?
I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith.
Yeah, kept the
and
faith.
And I got the crown.
I got the crown.
Words, people want the crown without those things. Oh, I want the crown. No, you have heaven, there's no doubt about that, eternal security, but there are, and there is the doctrine of rewards, and that's very key, 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15, and what we're reading in 2 Timothy, also about the crown of righteousness. So there's these different crowns and these different rewards that are given to the believer. And so it's, he's saying, I'm coming to the end. The time of my departure is at hand, but I've not departed from this. I'm not departed from a good fight, the race. I've kept the faith. And this is so important in our lives. Like, even if you live, like, you know, 20, 30 years as a great believer, and then all of a sudden something happens to somebody, you know, isn't it sad that what they often remember is what happened last or what did not go well? Yeah. Somebody can do very well governing a nation, yeah, and then the last couple of years they mess up or something, or they can't think correctly anymore. People always seem to remember. They forgot about the 30 years, and the last two are what sticks out in their mind, you know,
mm-hmm,
which is a sad way to evaluate. Thank God that God doesn't evaluate that way.
Yeah.
He loves us, and he can lovingly discipline us, but he takes a look at the entire aspect of our whole life and really sees the importance of that. So there's people that haven't finished well. Okay. But you know what? You ran a race, and maybe you ran a race for 10, 20, 30, 40 years.
Mm.
Okay? And we would like to finish well. But God is not a man. And God looks at the whole race. He looks at it from start to finish. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the one who began it, and the finisher of faith. And this is so key. So what's being said here, and we realize the importance of what took place in his life. Under tremendous problems, persecution. I don't know what those prisons were like. I can imagine how horrible it might have been in one of those Roman prisons. Because, you know, the Romans were very good at disciplining
torture.
People. Torture.
Yeah, they were.
And how to handle people and break them. Mm-hmm. How to break them, you know. So, but they couldn't break him.
No.
They couldn't break him. You know, they, I think some of them just realized he's not bending. He's not bowing.
No.
Mordecai bowed not. Yeah. Uh-huh. What is it? Esther 3:1. Everybody bowed, but Mordecai didn't bow.
Well, you look at the way the history went, right? The Christianity survived. They got rid of Paul. They got rid of Peter. They got rid of everybody, but it survived, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then people kept preaching the word. People kept running the race. People kept fighting the fight.
Passed the baton.
People kept the faith.
They kept the faith.
And, you know, if Paul becomes, you know, I'm not saying that he probably didn't have some melancholy moments. You know, you're in a dark dungeon, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had God with him, and he encouraged himself in God. And he just kept thinking, like, you know, you probably got people on your mind that you're going to think about, especially in Africa for yourself. You think about these people who have been faithfully carrying things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you have to deal with you got to put out your fires every now and then, you mm-hmm. know, and that's true with any kind of ministry, especially with the breadth you're talking about, you know, whatever, 200 churches or 300 churches that you got across the continent.
There's always something going on.
But I'm sure there's like guys that, you know, when you put your, when you lay your head on the pillow, whatever you do that, whatever, I know you don't do that so much, but whatever you do, you got guys in your mind
lately,
that you're thinking, you know, God took that and he's running this race, and God took that and maybe he's passed the baton. You probably got guys in Africa that have passed the baton 5 or 6 times at this point, right?
Sure. Over the course of from 1986 till now, you're talking 38 years, 39 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's happened and the baton has passed. We can see it throughout the ministry that's important. See, that's where discipleship comes in.
Yeah.
This is a disciple speaking in 2 Timothy 4. This is a disciple of Christ, making disciples with Christ.
Yeah.
And the work continuing and going on. This is the key. Some people are good for some churches, and some people are good for 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years.
Yeah.
10 years later, you don't even know where they are. You know, you don't even know what's happened. There's no memory of what took place. But we need to just keep going. When the pastor knows those famous statements that he speaks about all the time, just two words: keep going,
keep going, keep running.
And to keep going, you got to keep receiving.
Yeah.
And this is what Paul was doing. He was receiving from the Spirit of God, the grace of God, from God's thought patterns, from God's word. He was receiving from God, and he was writing it down and writing these letters, which are blessing us today.
Yeah.
We're blessed by these letters today because it's the inspired word of God. Inspired word of God. So we just keep going. Will there be persecution in the last days? Of course there will be.
Yeah.
Of course. It's always been that way. It took place with Abraham. It took place with Noah. I mean, I don't think there were too many people happy with Noah at that time. It took place with against Israel, and even it is today still happening. And it takes place against the church of a man of God. Somebody gets saved in a family, and there's all unbelievers in that family, and they're all doing all kinds of things contrary to Christ. Is going to be persecution. But Be a receiver of grace and don't think, dwell, and have a mental pattern of persecution, trouble, and those who are against us. If God be for you, how about this statement as we prepare to end soon? How about this statement? If God be for us,
who can be against us?
By the way, the word if is not there. That's English. That's
God for us.
God for us.
None against us.
What it actually says in the original language is, in view of the certain fact that God is for us, who can be against us? It's an absolute fact.
That's cool.
It's not an if, and maybe he is, and maybe he isn't. Sometimes that word if can cause me a problem.
Yeah.
You know? But God is for us. Who can be against us? And we know the enemy of the devil and demons are behind all of that. So we recognize that the enemy will always be against Jesus Christ. If you would speak, if the enemy could speak, you know, even after the rapture and the world ends, he'll still be thinking negative thoughts about Jesus Christ forever. Yeah,
forever. That's the way it is.
And he's against us, but he'll be in hell where he can have no touch on us, no effect on us at all. So
the enemy's already defeated. We got to see that
victory in Jesus.
That's right.
Right?
My Savior forever.
My Savior forever. So tonight, we have Bible school tonight. You're welcome to come.
6 o'clock.
It's the last class. We're going to have pizza, and you're welcome to come. And we're also going to speak a little bit about victory. We're going to be talking about victory tonight.
Physical food, spiritual food. Come on out. 6 o'clock, 6025 Moravia Park Drive is our address.
Baltimore, Maryland.
Again. Yep. And we also have a church this Sunday, Mother's Day. And that's amazing. 9/11/6/30. You can be a part of that. Well, thanks for being a part of the Grace Hour this week. We've talked about Paul from the road to Damascus all the way through his end at Rome. Next week on the Grace Hour, the podcast, we'll be talking. Here's a good one, Pastor Schiavelli. What does it mean to be in the world but not of it? So there we go. So that's next week's topic. You can join us. And if you missed any part of the Grace Hour today, you can watch it again at gracehour.org or on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. So thank you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to all your mothers.
Woo-hoo!
For Pastor Steve Schiavelli, I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. For Jehu Vandiver, God bless you all.